Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to Mercy Talk. I am Jen Otero.
And I'm Melanie Wise. We are so excited that you are here with us today. And we are just continuing on in our series this month on the issue of self-harm. If you've listened in the last couple of weeks, we have talked about just facts about self-harm, what it is, what it is not, symptoms of someone who might be struggling with it. And we've talked about just kind of what can be at the root of this issue for many people. We've covered actually a lot of ground at this point. And if you have not listened to the last couple of podcasts on this issue, I really, really encourage you to. I feel like bringing all of them together will really kind of create a good package for someone. But if you only hear one, you might miss out on some things. So I just encourage you, if you haven't heard those, to go back and listen in. And, you know, last week we talked a little bit more directly to someone who might be struggling with this issue. Today we want to kind of move into talking to those of you who might know someone who is struggling and you're trying to help or minister to that person, and just kind of some insight from us on, you know, how to most effectively help someone. And so we are really excited today because we have a special guest with us. Stephanie Peebler is here, and she is one of the counselors in our Nashville home. And so she has just a lot of experience in working with hurting young women, and we just couldn't miss the opportunity to have her in here and just share some of her insights. So Stephanie, thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
Can you just share a little bit about like how long you've been here at Mercy, what you do with the girls? That would be great to get us started.
Sure. I have been with Mercy for about 10 years in the counseling department, and currently as senior counselor. Been counseling during that time with our Choices That Bring Change that entire time. And so it's been amazing because it really does work.
Yes.
And God's principles absolutely transform our lives.
So. Yes.
And I have to brag on Stephanie too, because her and I were on the counseling team together for many years, and this girl's a rock star. So
thanks.
I'm really excited because it's one thing we always talk about. It's fun to bring in a third party when we have our Mercy Talk, but Steph just has such an abundance of just information, but also revelation on what it looks like to help folks overcome. So I'm sure she's going to have some good tidbits for us that we haven't been able to hit on yet.
Great.
So I think too, I would just say, just as we kick off and then we can kind of move forward, is a couple of things I want to remind our listeners of is just the importance of being on the lookout for just those signs and symptoms that we've talked about the last couple of weeks, that we want to be people that are in relationship with folks so that when you start noticing some things that are off, whether that's emotionally, whether you're starting to notice, you know, just some physical signs of what's going on, that you're in position in relationship with people so you can start having those conversations and not to be afraid to confront what you're seeing. Now, when I say confront, I mean that being done in a very loving, compassionate, kind, appropriate way, but not being afraid to have the hard conversations and not being afraid to say, hey, I love you enough to point out what I'm seeing. And I'm sure we'll talk more about kind of the specifics of how to go about that. But I would just encourage our listeners just to really recognize that, you know, when you see these things, it's so important. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about this last week as well, but the quicker we can jump on these things and the quicker someone starts to overcome, they're going to be so much more positioned for success that much quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, dealing with someone who's struggling with self-harm for 3 months is a whole different bear than when you're dealing with someone who's been struggling with it for 10 years. That sounds like common sense, but being the person that gets in and confronts that earlier on, you're automatically setting up that person to be able to overcome that much quickly. Mm-hmm. So those would be my encouragements as well as we get started.
Yeah. And Jen, I mean, I'm just thinking too, specifically how we talked about the issue of self-harm being one that can really spiral out of control quickly. And so how important it is, very much so, with this issue to really be ready and willing to address that when you see it, and to not hope or put it off till later.
Right.
It's uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to this person about this. I don't want to bring it up, you know, because truly the longer that you wait, the harder it may be for them to be able to overcome, you know, in the days ahead. But Stephanie, would love to just hear some insight from you. You know, one of the things that we talk about all of the time on Mercy Talk is how important it is for us to not focus all of our attention and efforts on correcting behavior, but on truly helping someone find freedom at their core, at a heart level, finding freedom and healing. You know, we've talked some just about what can be underneath the struggle of self-harm, like some of the, I guess, most typical issues that can lead someone to that. So Stephanie, would love to know, just kind of right off the bat here, just some of your insight on how to respond to someone who might be struggling, whether or not it be that you've you've seen it, you've witnessed it, or you know and recognize the problem, or they may come to you and say that this is something that I'm dealing with. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on how people can best respond in those scenarios?
Absolutely. I think the number one thing that I tell a lot of parents and family members, or even just those that have supported our girls, is don't freak out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes just seeing the wounds or, mm-hmm. you know, someone admitting that is terrifying and it freaks us out in that moment. But the reality is there's a deeper hurt that mm-hmm. is trying to be expressed. And so freaking out then just makes them shut down even further yeah. and not really trust, you know, those people for future moments mm-hmm. that they're struggling. So definitely responding by, you know, tell me a little bit more about that, or just an empathetic response of like what was going on and really asking kind of the deeper questions versus, you know, how dare you or mm-hmm. judgment or I can't believe that you're doing this, or just assuming that it's attention seeking, or assuming, you know, there's other things that, well, preconceived notions of what we think it is
right.
versus the struggle that they're actually going through.
Right.
So.
Right. And I think that I'm thinking back to Jen, what you mentioned, I think it was maybe last week, about just some of the misconceptions. Actually, I guess yeah. it was our first week. Mm-hmm. You were just talking about the misconceptions and how some people automatically assume that if someone is self-harming, mm-hmm. then they're suicidal. And then right. that just sends people yeah. even into that greater freak out place.
And there's
like
a huge difference right. between suicidal and just, mm-hmm. you know, struggling with self-harm.
Right.
It's two different worlds, but a lot of yeah. time people don't know that. And mm-hmm. I think just in our culture in general, there's more of an understanding of self-harm now, but I think even Absolutely. Past generations, when you're dealing with parents or sometimes even grandparents, they just have no point of reference. This mm-hmm. wasn't something that was on their radar. And so I think that's why these types of things are so helpful, because there is just that learning place of going, okay, mm-hmm. it makes sense why this is something you're operating in. Even though I have no point of reference for this and it's not in my generation or culture, what you're walking through, it makes sense mm-hmm. that this is what you've picked up to cope. This mm-hmm. is what you've picked up to deal with what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Stephanie, earlier, I know that you mentioned just how you've seen the Choices That Bring Change model that we use here at Mercy really mm-hmm. work with a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that model is all focused in on helping people get to the root behind the behaviors. And so that's something that we talk about all the time here on Mercy Talk, how important it is not to focus on just fixing some external behavior. That's not our goal. That was never Jesus's goal when he was here. You know, I mean, right. it's just that is the heart behind what we do here, is we want to help people find true freedom to their core, find healing for their heart. And so that is really infiltrates everything mm-hmm. that we do here at Mercy. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to encourage other people to do as well when they're supporting people and helping people. So we'd just love to know, you know, just any thoughts or insight that you have on how important it is to help people get to the root. And what are some of the root issues that you've even seen specifically relating to self-harm?
Absolutely. Well, a lot of the times is oftentimes a self-punishment mindset, or, you know, being really, really angry either at others or themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, wanting to be perfect and then beating themselves up in a physical manner mm-hmm. Because of their mistakes. A lot of times, sometimes it's even, you know, triggered by abuse from the past. Mm-hmm. When those memories are triggered or those feelings are triggered, then it kind of goes into the shame and the anger and the self-hatred. And so part of that, even just our counseling curriculum, is jumping into renewing the mind, being able to go, okay, what is the lie that I believe? Mm-hmm. You know, like I deserve punishment. Actually, you know, through the cross, he bore our punishment for our sins, for our mistakes. Mm-hmm. He bore the shame. And so being able to replace those lies with God's truth, and being able to then equip them to mm-hmm. how to, in those moments, what do I do with the emotion and how do I renew my mind? Because the battle is real, and it's not just something that's easily like just disappeared at mm-hmm. that place of going, okay, I'm coming and I'm going to face the struggle head on, but I'm also going to walk out with victory as I grab a hold of God's truth and really replace it and renew yeah. that place in my mind,
yeah.
uprooting those lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Sometimes also the other thing that came to my mind was just that lack of control. Because sometimes when we've grown up in an environment that's completely out of control, we start trying to control things. And so when we hit an event or a situation that then seems out of control, or I don't know how it's going to work, or just really terrified of either failing or facing a situation that I don't know how to function in, just all those kind of emotions start overcoming us in the yeah. midst of it. So being able to have someone to reach out to and to go, okay, I don't know what to do, and to normalize that and allowing us to receive an empathetic response of like, man, I get it. It's really hard. And it is terrifying. All of us are terrified of a lot of different things. And I think at least what we experience a lot is that we don't want to be alone in our fear, but the enemy convinces us that we're the only ones that ever struggle with different things. And so really connecting to that point of you're not alone in this. So let's win together.
Yeah, that's really good. That's great. So I guess my thought or question for you, Steph, is that when you're faced, let's say it's in the home or for any people that are listening and they have someone that comes to them, I think of youth pastors, I think of all sorts of folks that maybe they have someone in their world that comes to them and says, hey, I'm struggling with this, or hey, I just harmed myself. Or last night, this is something I struggled with. What would be your practical insider thoughts to them? Because I know often what I find when we teach in our Empower trainings or different things, one of the biggest moments of eureka for people is that we don't just go straight to the questions about what they used and how they harmed themselves and all that sort of stuff. But I think in humanity that we kind of want to get after the behavior instead of, like you said, coming compassionately and that sort of thing. Any specific practical encouragements you would have for someone in that position? They have this person coming to them for the first time. They've never had this kind of conversation with someone. In the home, it's something we deal with pretty regularly here and there. So what are your thoughts? What would you encourage someone that's on the receiving end of this information, how to respond in a way that's going to set that other individual up for freedom and overcome? Any thoughts about that?
Absolutely. Number one, don't freak out.
Again, don't freak out. Even if you are internally.
I know. Internally, you might be freaking out, but don't freak out in front of them. Again, even asking the question like, so tell me what was going on. Tell me what was going on in that moment or what was going on inside. And sometimes they can't pinpoint a specific feeling. And that's when they've been overwhelmed with multiple components of feelings, like all kinds that they don't even know how to, dishevel into specifics. But even identifying kind of what was going on that then they led to that place. I think the next thing that I would suggest is there anything in your possession that is tempting to self-harm with, and hey, can I have that? Or would you be willing to give that to me? I think the other part is, okay, so do you recognize that we can't do this alone? And so will you allow me or someone else to come alongside you in the midst of this journey? Because we can't do this by ourselves. That's good. the initial kind of response, but then also that place of we can do this. Like, you can overcome. There is hope. There is being able to express that there is not only hope but victory in the process of knowing how to really reconnect
and infusing hope into a pretty hopeless situation in that moment. So, Stephanie, I guess my question would be then: what do you do in the situation where you have someone that has come to you or that you have confronted and talked to, and they're not willing to give up, that thing that tempts them or that, that thing that perhaps they're using to harm themselves? I mean, that creates a hard situation for the person who's helping.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about that?
Well, we face that also a lot. I think part of the heart of God is not only does he give us free will, but in that place of when we're ministering to others, we also have to keep their will intact too.
Yeah, that's good.
Where we don't become controllers, where we don't become the fixer, where we have the ability to go, okay, I get it. But will you allow me to come alongside you, or will you allow somebody to come alongside you in the midst of the struggle? Because then in the place of connection, then they begin to trust that you are willing, that you're not willing to shame them. You're not willing to, step into that place of control, because oftentimes it is a sense of control, a sense of controlling my emotions or controlling a situation. And when you keep that in their hands and come alongside them, you're empowering them to make changes from the heart position versus an unhealthy sense of control or lack of it.
Right. And I often say there's only one Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
So you don't need to become Holy Spirit Junior. And sometimes we sort of position ourselves often that comes from a good heart. We want the best for the people that we're helping. But at the end of the day, they have to choose that, because if they can't choose to give you that thing that they've been hurting themselves with in that moment, it's going to be real hard for them to continue to choose freedom. And so it is just that step-by-step baby steps.
Yeah. And I think if there's anything that I would want us to kind of wind up today talking about, is just the importance of people who are supporting others and helping others. They can't do it alone either.
That's right.
And they don't need to try to help somebody out of this by themselves either. Right. And we've touched on this, I think, last week, about just how if you know someone who is struggling with this habitually, or there's an addiction here, that like you got to have professional help involved in this. That's and right. This is not something that you should just try to walk somebody through on your own.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in those circumstances, and this is one I feel really passionate about because of how many times I slipped and fell doing this when I was working in youth ministry. I kind of just out of, like you said, that that heart to help, and you just care about them and you want so badly for them to break free of something that you really do. You just kind of start gripping it tightly, like, I'm going to help this person. I'm going to do it. You know, they are going to get free of this. And just that ability to like surrender and trust and let go and let them choose. I mean, that was really hard for me.
It's hard though, when you
really love somebody and you care about them and you want it so badly for them. But as we've said a million times, you just can't want freedom more than they want it for themselves.
And the fact is that God loves them more than we do.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants freedom more than we even want freedom for them. And so with it is trusting the fact that he's pursuing their heart, even in the midst of them coming to you or having that conversation with you. That's huge to celebrate those moments.
Right.
And to know that the Lord is not only with you, but he's filling your lips with your with the words, because how many times do we have to be dependent on the Lord going, oh, Lord, how do I respond? Or what are the words I'm supposed to say right now? Or what is my face supposed to be saying right now? Versus, you know, the freak out moments on the internal part.
Well, and I just think that even in that place, when you, if you are looking at a situation and thinking, you know what, I really do think this might be a little bit beyond my ability to help this person, and I think we really need to bring in some professional help.
Yeah,
I think even in that situation, you may be facing someone who's like, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. And I think that if that's a situation that you're faced with, then that's an area where you're going to have to know how to set some boundaries for yourself. Like, don't, if they don't want help, well, then that means it's all on me. No. If they don't want help, they may not be in a place where they're ready yet.
Yeah.
And until they're in that place, there's a place of encouragement and love that you can be in their life, but you cannot try to pull them out of that by yourself. That's just not going to be a healthy place for you. If that's not, you know, your experience, expertise, or that kind of thing. So I just feel like that's something really important, specifically with this issue, that we need to encourage people. And there is a place for some professional help.
Absolutely.
And it's okay. And it's okay to refer out. It's not a failure, but they also have to be willing. And if they're not, then they may not actually be ready to go to that place yet. So,
And so when you face that moment, you as the minister sometimes feel powerless, but to never forget how powerful prayer really is, you know, where you're not necessarily, you know, clobbering them in that moment with prayer, but you can in your own closet, you know, being able to lift them before the Lord, because God can move and shift. Who knows? They might call you back, you know, and say, hey, yes, I am willing now or whatever, but being able to even reach out to professional counseling or whatever that may look like to get some help too.
Yeah.
So,
that's good. Well, we thankfully have another week with Stephanie. She's going to be back with us next week.
So much more. So
I know we could keep going and going here, but so I think we've just about wrapped up our time for today. And I, again, just want to encourage our listeners that, you know, if you specifically are someone who is trying to help someone or minister to someone who is struggling with the issue of self-harm, we have books on our website that are issue-related books, and we have a couple on there relating to people who are struggling with self-harm. And there's actually a section in the back of one of those books that is specifically written, I believe it says, to parents or caregivers. And it's one of those things that I read, you know, after I was already well out of youth ministry, and I read that and I was like, if I had only had this when I was trying to help some of these young women I was working with. It's just like 4 or 5 pages in the back of the book, but it is just full of some really, really great insight and encouragement. So again, those are available for free download from our website. So please go to mercymultiplied.com and check those out. I really think that there will be some helpful tools in there. So, Stephanie, thank you again for being
with
us today.
I loved it.
And we'll be talking more next week with you. So we just encourage you to join us next week on Mercy Talk.